There you go. Proof of it. If you would like to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to say that over one more time. The call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, you may disconnect at any time. If you would like to speak, you can virtually raise your hand by pressing 5-star on your dial pad for members of the Stakeholders Advisory Committee. You will then be called upon in the order that your hand was raised. Please take a moment to be sure you've entered your speaker code if you've not done so already, and please remember to mute your phones until speaking. So this is the first meeting of the Stakeholder Advisory Board of the Governor's Office of Emergency Relief and Recovery. The creation of the Governor's Office for Emergency Relief and Recovery was completed on Tuesday when the Governor issued Executive Order 2020-06. That order is publicly available on the Governor's website. Today's meeting is an official meeting of the Board. It is open to the public and will be run in a manner compliant with RSA 91A. We have someone on the phone taking minutes, which will be posted to the Gopher webpage, which you've also linked to off of the Governor's site. And as we mentioned earlier, today's meeting is being recorded. I'm going to be facilitating this meeting. Because the board is meeting by phone under RSA 91A, there are a few final logistics that we need to deal with. So basically, when I do the roll call, we're going to ask you to state your name, where you are currently located, and who is in the room with you. And it goes like this. I am Jerry Little. I'm Director of the Governor's Office for Emergency Relief and Recovery. I am in the Gopher office at One Eagle Square in Concord. With me are Joe Dorian, Lisa English, Kate Spiner, and Rhonda Hensley. Into the roll call, Bill Ardinger, are you with us?
Yes, Commissioner Little, I'm present in Concord, New Hampshire, at my home, in my home office, and no one is in the room with me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dean Kristen.
Yes, I am here. Dean Kristen, Executive Director of New Hampshire Housing. I am alone in my home office in Manchester.
Jim Jalbert.
Yes, Commissioner Jim Jalbert. I am at my office in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and I am alone.
Thank you, sir. Al Letizio?
Yes, Commissioner. This is Al Letizio, Jr. I am alone at my office in Windham, New Hampshire.
Thank you. Donna Lee Lozo.
Hi, Jerry. I am in my office here in Manchester, New Hampshire, and I, too, am alone.
Thank you, Donna Lee. Nice to hear from you. Scott Mason?
This is Scott Mason. I am in my fire office in North Stratford, New Hampshire, and I also am alone.
Thank you, Scott. Michelle McEwen.
Hi, yes. I'm here at the hospital in Plymouth, New Hampshire, in my office, and I'm alone. Thank you.
Nancy Mara.
Yes. Hi. Sorry. I am here. I'm at my work office, and I'm alone.
Thank you, Nancy. And Ben Wilcox.
Yes, Commissioner. Ben Wilcox, President and General Manager of Cranmore Mountain Resort. I'm in my office at Cranmore in North Conway, and no one is here.
Very good. Jeff Myers, were you able to make the call this afternoon? It doesn't appear so. We're expecting that Jeff will be able to vote. Thank you. Jeff, if you are on the call, could you hit 5-star? I guess not. But we do expect that eventually Jeff may join us. As we move through our agenda today, each board member and anyone else wishing to speak is asked to identify themselves before speaking so we know who's talking. If we should happen to take any votes today, they will all be done by roll call using the same format that we just exercised. And finally, we still expect to receive guidance from the U.S. Treasury Department about the $1.25 billion in CARES Act flex funds that we have the authority to move about the state of New Hampshire, to get that sometime on or about next Friday, April 24th. So at this point, we're going to deal with just a couple of basics. We're going to talk about the role of the Stakeholder Advisory Board. The Stakeholder Advisory Board is a sister organization to the Legislative Advisory Board, which many of you may have heard meet yesterday. Your charge is to tell us at the Gopher office who you'd like to collect data from, information, who you'd like to hear from. We're urging you to meet often and quickly, early in this process, so that we can get down to the business of distributing the $1.25 billion to the state of New Hampshire. Ultimately, you will make recommendations to us to bring to the governor to make suggestions as to how the funds will be distributed across the state. It's a huge responsibility, a big mission, but an important one, pretty simple. We also need you to be as communicative with us as you can. We want to be transparent. We want to have open communication. We need you to tell us what you think you need to hear and to learn about, and who you want us to contact about attending future conference calls. And then there are just a couple of housekeeping things. We're going to ask you in a bit if you could do it at this meeting. It would be great. If not, certainly at your next, we're going to ask you to select the chairperson from amongst yourselves. That chairperson's responsibility is to be the point of contact for us. So what that is hoping to avoid is the idea that we would get nine of you sending us in nine different directions. What we're hoping is that the chair will organize the members of the committee to find out what it is you want to hear from us or what you want us to facilitate from you, and that chairperson will contact us with a wish list from the entire group. And then to the statement I made earlier, we encourage you to meet early and often to get this process moving. We just came from a meeting with the governor, and we know that he is anxious for us to be ready to start to move the funds out to the people of the state of New Hampshire as soon as we can. So we'd like to talk with you now about a schedule of meetings. I can tell you that the Legislative Advisory Committee is meeting Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 1 p.m. for the foreseeable future. And one of the directions of the governor's executive order is that the Stakeholders Advisory Committee do their best to organize meetings in a manner that do not conflict with that. So that sort of leaves Tuesdays and Thursdays for you at this point in time. Do you have any comments about any of that? Anybody still there?
I'm here, Jerry Ardinger. I have no comment. Sorry.
No comment, Jerry.
Same no here.
Comment. No comment.
Yeah, no comment. Tuesdays, Thursdays are fine.
Tuesdays, Thursdays at 1 p.m. okay?
Yes.
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 Very good. Any thoughts about who or what you would like to start to hear from? Is there a particular industry that you believe may be so we have some questions. Thank you very much. Al Letizia, we believe we got you gave us the first electronic raised hand.
Yes, I was actually raising my hand just to initially say that that I agreed with the Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. But since you've asked another question, let me start out by saying if there's an industry to recommend, I would suggest the restaurant industry as an initial industry. And I'm sure others have other thoughts on that, but I know that that's an industry that's been hard hit.
Al, let me ask you a question, please.
Yes.
What's the best way to get a focused contact with the restaurant industry? Because I think many of us think them as part of the hospitality industry, which is a much broader brush approach to that specific industry.
Well, first of all, I think when I introduced myself, I may not have said my title, and I apologize if I didn't, and I apologize again if I'm saying it twice, but I'm CEO of AJ Letizio Sales and Marketing in Windham, New Hampshire. We are a sales and marketing agency in the food industry. We're suppliers to the supermarket and restaurant industry down the east coast of the United States. We happen to be the only agency of our kind in New Hampshire that supplies the industry. So we've got an insight into both retail and food service industries. And although retail is kind of booming right now and has its own challenges, but not a challenge in terms of business, in terms of dollars coming in, the restaurant industry has been impacted pretty severely. I believe, and I'm not involved in it, but I believe, and I can do some research, that there is a New Hampshire Restaurant Association. And I can do some research and report back on that. But that would be the first point of contact.
Very good. Before I move on to the next question / comment, are there any thoughts from the group relative to other points of contact for the restaurant industry?
This is Ben Wilcox. I would support New Hampshire Restaurant and Lodging. I have already reached out to, and they have some good information I think that would be helpful, along with Ski New Hampshire on the ski side of things.
Okay. Very good. We're writing all of this down. And by the way, I just looked up and realized that I forgot to mention when I told you who was in the room with me that Joe Dorian is here. And Joe is going to be the deputy director of Gopher, and he's also going to be taking the lead on working with this stakeholders advisory group. So, Joe, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dean Kristen, we have your electronic hand is up on our screen.
Hi, Jerry. Thank you for reaching out. Two observations. One that is directly related, I guess, to the sort of sector that I come from. As has been noted about restaurant community, the housing sector is sort of trying to figure out exactly what the dynamics of impact of this crisis will be on them. You know, we've already heard a lot from people about what the implications are of non-payment of rent because of unemployment. There's also a lot of slowdown of construction and other related issues that could lead to issues. So I was going to offer to use some networks that we have to reach out to a broad range of people in that area, running from folks that work with homeless people up through the development community, and try to collect some sense of what the impacts have been and what kinds of relief and support people might be looking for, to at least bring back to this group to look at and think about. And I think we could probably pull a lot of that data together using existing networks and at least give you some broader sense of what that information is, and then we can talk about how we would refine it down further if that's something that would be helpful to everyone. And then the other thing that I did put my hand up about earlier, not quickly enough, was I was going to ask if when you were doing timing, whether we could do this meeting at 2 o'clock on at least on the Thursdays, but Tuesdays and Thursdays perhaps, simply because I have some conflicts on Thursdays that would be problematic with a 1 o'clock meeting. But that's really at the discretion of the fellow committee members.
Thank you. You're absolutely right that the timing of the meetings is up to those who are on the committee. Is everyone okay with doing Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2 o'clock?
Yes.
This is Michelle. Yes. Tuesdays will present a problem. If we could do Tuesday at 1 perhaps and Thursday at 2, I know that gets a little complicated.
that takes care of my problem, Jerry. So if that's
perfect. We want to make sure that we can accommodate everybody. So what we're moving to right now as far as scheduling, Tuesdays at 1, Thursdays at 2.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that works for me, Jerry. Jim Gilbert.
Perfect.
Yes, that works.
Excellent. The next electronic hand we have received is from Bill Ardinger.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. This is Bill Ardinger. I have two comments on inputs. One is a process comment that I'd like to turn back and ask you and the team at the Gopher office. The Legislative Advisory Board is also receiving very good information from various sources that they're identifying, including real important input from state agencies who I feel certain are going to play an unbelievably important role in helping Gopher distribute, get these dollars out as the governor wants to the communities as fast as possible. How can we avoid duplication? Because probably this group will want to hear from all those same people. That's my first question. Let me put my other question down for you and ask you to respond. The second point I wanted to raise is there is so much change, we could say flux instead of flex, in the federal rules that will govern how this group and the state distributes this money, accounts for it, makes it transparent, and has oversight. Is there any way we can receive input from our federal delegation and I know how busy they are, or their staffs? We have great committee representation among our delegation, things like Senator Shaheen on appropriations, Senator Hassan on finance, Congresswoman Custer on health, and Congressman Pappas on transportation and infrastructure. I think it would be helpful to hear from the cutting edge of policy in Washington so that we can take that into account on the directions we're taking. That completes my 2 points, and thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Good questions. As far as the duplication goes, we certainly encourage you to listen in on the Legislative Advisory Board conference calls as well. And to the extent that if an issue that you're interested in gets covered in their calls, and we'll encourage them to listen to yours as well, we can discuss it at a conference call and say, like they said on the other group's call, I'm concerned about this or I'm concerned about that. And we're going to do our best as the staff here at the Gopher office not to duplicate the same presentations by the same people. So yesterday, the Legislative Advisory Committee heard from 7, I think, state agencies, considered the frontline agencies where COVID-19 has hit the ground. And so we would not expect to invite those same agencies to come back and speak with you again. We're looking at the Legislative Advisory Committee as being focused primarily on areas where government agency and public policy come to play, and the stakeholders advisory focused more on the economic and certainly social side of things as well, the economic versus the social impacts, but less from a government agency situation. We want to make sure we have an open line of communication with essentially the businesses and nonprofits across the state of New Hampshire and feel that your group will be best to represent them. What I heard in your second point, Bill, was a request for us to invite the representatives of the congressional delegation to join us on a call. I'm not really sure. I think if I'm reading right, the question, there are a number of, it's not just CARES Act money, excuse me, it is CARES Act money, but it's not just the $1.25 billion that is being discussed as the revenues that will come from Treasury to Gopher to distribute. There are a great number of other sources of revenue that are coming from Congress as well. So if I understood your question right, is can we have somebody tell us what the full scope, what the real full picture of the federal funds available to the state is? There's
yes, sir. That's exactly right. And also making sure we have a good heads up on what's coming next.
So I'm going to introduce Lisa English, who has joined our staff today on Gopher, and she has a lot of background on this and can actually boast that she has read the CARES Act from start to finish, who I think is the only one in this room that's done that so far. So I think that's a good question for Lisa.
Yeah, there is a lot of moving parts, and you have not just the CARES Act, but certainly some things that were addressed in the Families First Coronavirus Response Act and more things that are coming down the pipeline. So we certainly are waiting for guidance. But we're also trying to piece together the different funding mechanisms and opportunities that are coming into New Hampshire so we can better understand where there's needs that have been completely unmet versus needs that have been partially met. And I'm sure there's no needs that are ever going to be fully met in this. So I think it's certainly a really good point, and hearing from our very active federal delegation is something I think we'll certainly look into. But we do have an eye on the big picture and not just on the CARES Act, I'll call them federal flex funds, though we don't know how flexible they are until we see the guidance. But we are trying to keep a good eye on the big picture. And one of the things, if I may, that's really important about this group is that our picture, you have a different view. Every single one of you is picked because of the view that you have that'll help us as we move forward with our task.
That's very helpful, and I thank you, Lisa and Jerry. In terms of an agency that I'd love to hear from, one that I've worked with for a long time is the Business Finance Authority. They have my law firm has represented them. We've worked with them a long time, and they have a pretty good sense of a viewpoint of the developments in the both the business and the not-for-profit sector. Thank you. I'm complete.
Thank you, Bill. Our next question comes from Donna Lee Lozo.
Hi there. So I'm going to go a little bit where Bill was headed, because I think that, as it was said earlier on the call, this is kind of a Herculean task for every group that's involved in looking at it. And Lisa, somehow I'm not surprised that you found a way to read over 300 pages of federal legislation. I think that we could spend a lot of time today thinking about the different groups that we want to have input from. And I did spend a significant amount of time yesterday trying to listen to the entire meeting that you had with the legislative advisory group, which I think if all of us on the call tried to do that 3 days a week for 4 or 5 hours at a time, plus our own meetings on Tuesdays and Thursdays, that would be a pretty difficult thing to do. I'm wondering a few things. First, how quickly might those minutes be ready? Because it might be easier to just read through the minutes to help us to stay abreast of what's happening so that we're not duplicating. The second thing is, in looking at our process, it would seem to me that if we looked by category of dollars, it would help to kind of crystallize who we want to hear from based on where some of those funds may go. Now, I recognize business is a huge category, and, you know, New Hampshire Restaurant Lodging, great place. I think Mike Summers is still the ED there, and he sits on the State Workforce Innovation Board as well. So some of those folks will be helpful, and I know Joe's familiar with them. But if we could maybe spend some time in that category and have each of us kind of make a list that we can collectively share of who we'd like to hear from in those categories, compare it to who has been heard from after reviewing those minutes, I think that will be helpful. The other part is not just the money that's coming in right now. It is the next package that they're working on. Some of us have had calls from the legislative delegation saying, what should we be thinking of in what's next? And some of that might not just be about money. It might be about timing. But also the other thing that I think is important for us to understand is many of the rules and regulations that exist prior to this pandemic are now being waived in different ways. Percentages are being changed. Deadlines are being changed. What's forgiven, what has to be paid back, all those things play into it. So the more that we can summarize categories, I think, would be helpful. And then the last point that I'll make is I think it would be really important to have a document where we list, I don't know, I'm just making it up, 10 questions that we would ask everybody that we're seeking input from, so that it's not kind of way out there. It doesn't mean that they couldn't tell us another column that we're not thinking of to ask, but if we could have kind of a standardized list of questions that we might want to have, it might help us to have our arms around this a little bit and be more thoughtful and deliberate about where we go from here and asking things.
Okay, so there's a lot there, Donnelly.
unusual for me, I know, Commissioner.
as far as categories, I want to make sure that I understood what you were saying. You're talking about the categories of money. So we have the
1.2 billion
there. And then there's also unemployment insurance money. There's money for hospitals. I think there was money that's already been distributed or about to be distributed for hospitals. Is that what you're discussing, so that we're keeping an eye on the big picture of the totality of federal funds that are coming to the state, not just the 1.25 that Gopher is charged with distributing? Is that
exactly
your comment about tracking categories?
Exactly.
Perfect.
Because some of the money is dedicated for certain specific things, and so how that goes out within that, like in childcare or emergency solutions grant for housing, those kinds of categories I think will help keep us focused.
So that's a really important point, and one we've been discussing this morning, because since there are other sources of funds that are coming from Washington to address specific things, it may allow us to recognize that there has already been assistance provided or there is assistance available for a specific industry. Therefore, we can maybe weight more heavily towards other industries with the Gopher funds.
Exactly.
So I think that was an important point. Help me. I'm trying to remember what there were several points in there that you
standardized questions.
Standardized questions, I think it's a good idea, without a doubt. So what we would do is ask those of you to make sure that we're asking the questions that you want asked, if you could get us the 10 questions that you think are the most important, that would be extremely helpful for us. We could sit here and draft up a bunch of questions, but they might not be the right ones. And so if you would work with Joe Dorian on getting that done, or Joe will reach out to you, whichever. I'm going to hand that off to Joe. And
great.
Very good. You're all set?
Very good. If you could email just the starting questions, and we can go from there.
Excellent. Did we answer your questions, Donnelly?
Pretty much. I mean, they weren't necessarily questions. They were just an idea of a process to help us manage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michelle, you're next.
Thank you.
I guess just to follow up on Donna Lee first before I talk about what industries I think we should hear from, I guess I want to caution when you hear that there's been funding for various groups, whether it's child care or hospitals, without the perspective of is it adequate funding? Because there is some hospital funding, but I can tell you it's not close to adequate. And so I wouldn't want the group to say, oh, there's already funding, we don't need to listen to that group or this group. With that, I mean, I do represent hospitals and the healthcare industry, and like all the other industries with restaurant hospitality, you know, the stay at home has certainly had an impact on us, as well as the cancellation of our elective surgeries and procedures, and then on top of that, being asked to surge to be able to prepare for an influx of very sick patients and expanding our capacity. For example, Spears, a 25-bed hospital, and we've been asked to expand here at the hospital and do a 96-bed alternate care site. So I'm going from 25 beds to 110-plus beds, which is a huge feat to do when you've lost 50 to 60% of your revenues at the same time. I'm sure you've all seen the papers recently, the layoffs that are happening at the hospitals, the furloughs between Lakes Region, Central Catholic Medical Center, as well as Solution Health. So we're being dramatically impacted in multiple ways from this pandemic, and we're economic engines for most of our community, so that has an added effect on the economies of all of our towns, particularly in the rural areas where I am up in Plymouth and even further north. So I'll just say healthcare industry as a total, because I even though I'm hospitals, I know the mental health centers and the federal qualified health clinics are being, and home health agencies are being adversely affected as well.
Very nice. Good. Points all well taken, Michelle. Thank you very much for that. Would it be possible for you to comment a little bit about the if there is a disparate impact on the critical care facilities versus the, for lack of a better term, more metropolitan hospitals?
Some of the smaller hospitals, and Spears, one of them, we have been able to apply for the Paycheck Protection Act because we're small enough. Some of the other smaller hospitals have an affiliation, so they were not, fall under 500, and certainly all our large facilities don't qualify for that. There's an advanced Medicare payment program, but unfortunately that's got a very short turnaround time. It's a loan, and right now has an interest rate attached to it of over 10%, which is not even reasonable in the market today.
So looking forward, if we were to assume that there would need to be some sort of assistance to the hospitals, could you put some thought for future conversation into a formula or a metric so we could make sure that we balanced funding towards real need, that it's not just we're bigger so we get more type of situation? Is it possible to do something like that?
I'll give it a try. I don't know if that's a yes or no answer, but certainly happy to give that some thought and talk to some of my peers and see what we can offer.
Thank you. Next on the list, Scott Mason.
Hi. The governor asked me to serve from my background in agriculture and North Country and et cetera. Agriculture is having some issues here in New Hampshire. I'm sure some of you have read the stories about, well, although we're not having milk dumped in New Hampshire, we are in the region, and we're looking at about anywhere from a 30 to a 40% reduction in our pay price for milk. Some of the folks in the horticultural industry, they lost markets. I think Massachusetts shut down their flower shops. So there were fellows growing flowers in New Hampshire that just got mowed down, and they had to take a loss on the crop. So So agriculture has some unique issues that we're facing, as does the timber industry, and as does we have what we call the Yankee Fishermen's Co-op down in Seabrook, and some of the issues that that the lobster industry has been facing. So my request would be to get New Hampshire timberland owners, the Yankee Fishermen's Co-op, New Hampshire Farm Bureau, New England Farmers Union, NOFA, all the, and the Department of Ag to be able to come in and give testimony on what's going on in agriculture.
Scott, I'm going to ask you to repeat those again. They went pretty quick, and we didn't get them all written down.
Sure, not a problem. New Hampshire timberland owners, Yankee Fishermen's
Co-op. Got it, Yankee Fishermen's Co-op?
Yep. New Hampshire Farm Bureau.
Yep.
New England Farmers Union. NOFA.
Which is the Organic Farmers Association?
Yes. And the New Hampshire Department of Ags and Markets.
Very good. Thank you.
In the North Country, one of our other issues is that we're not, and also in other parts of New Hampshire, I'm sure, we still have a lot of problems with access to quality broadband, and that has created some issues for our communities, for the kids at home, and also for businesses that have sent employees home trying to use broadband. It's also created some issues for, like, the Extension Service being able to reach some of their clients and work with some of the work that they need to get done.
Very good. Anything else, Scott?
Northern New Hampshire is certainly impacted by what's going on in tourism and hospitality, and it would be good to see some of our chambers, ATV, the State ATV and Snow Machine Associations, White Mountain Attractions, and get testimony for how this is impacting their businesses.
Thank you. Anything else, Scott?
I'm sure it'll come up, but it would be good to get some information on what's going on at the local level, so the New Hampshire Municipal Association and or the, you know, either the county association of county governments or just the 10 county governments, as they've been impacted by what's going on with Corona.
Absolutely. That gets back to Bill Arndt's point that we should try to avoid duplication between the two boards. The New Hampshire Municipal Association will be tomorrow on the Legislative Advisory Committee's agenda. I believe they're starting us right off at 1 o'clock. They're doing a presentation. They have 10 o'clock. You're right, Lisa. Thank you. They move to 10 o'clock tomorrow. So at 10 a.m. tomorrow, the Municipal Association will be on the conference call. They have their presentation. We are then going to hear from Mayor Craig from Manchester, Mayor Donches from Nashua, and Town Administrator Bill Herman from, I believe Bill is Auburn, off the top of my head. And then in the following that, we will have the...
Did you invite anybody from the North Country?
We asked the Municipal Association to arrange the presentation.
Okay.
So they did the invitations. The Association of Counties will then follow. We asked to have a county administrator, an administrator from a county nursing home, and an administrator from corrections. So that will be the Legislative Advisory Committee's agenda for tomorrow. Anything else, Scott, before we move on?
No, that's all I got.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Nancy Merrill.
Hi. I think one of my questions was just answered. I was wondering which committee the municipalities would be speaking to, because they're certainly on my list. I work for the City of Claremont doing economic development, And the last, you know, month has been tough on Main Street businesses particularly, but, you know, also some of our larger employers are have some concerns. So I'm interested in hearing from those who are funding businesses, maybe the banks, I think BFA, and it might be good to hear from the Small Business Development Center in terms of what, you know, cumulatively, what are the top couple of needs that are coming up on their end?
Very well. Anything else, Nancy?
Nope, that's it for me.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Dean Kristen.
Thank you. Two things. Going back to one of the comments that Donna Lee made early on, it strikes me that one of the approaches we might want to think about is to identify a range of essentially issue areas that we think need to be focused on, or sectors, or whatever you want to call them, and then try to cross-match that with the point she raised about other resources that might be available to the state. So if you can identify where there are significant needs and then determine whether there are other resources that might be available to address those needs coming in rather than the use of the resources that we're focused on here, it might help us with that prioritization point. So maybe we spend some time talking about what those focus areas are, whether they are healthcare or something else, and then try to identify what other resources might be available to address those before we start prioritizing the use of this more flexible resource, assuming, of course, that next week you get guidance that tells you that it really is flexible. So that's just kind of one observation. The other thing that that has come to mind as I've listened to people talk is I think an additional kind of group that might be interesting to chat with would be the regional economic development corporations. They also are engaged a lot of times with small businesses and helping really entrepreneurs and others at the local level. And like BFA and others, I think they might have some knowledge about what the challenges are that those organizations are facing now.
Very good. Regarding the multiple pots of money, for lack of a better term, that are out there, the governor has made it clear to us that he does expect the gopher to take a very holistic look at everything out there that is a potential source for assistance for the state of New Hampshire, and not to limit ourselves only to the $1.25 billion, but to try to be a clearinghouse for everybody to understand really what the other pockets of money are, where they are, and what they're focused on. And Lisa's already working on trying to figure out what that whole picture looks like.
Thank you.
Next, anything else, Dean?
No, I think I'm good for now. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Next question / comment comes from Jim Jalbert.
Hi, Jerry. So in listening to what Donna Lee said earlier, I think we have to be very careful that there's not duplicity in any type of funding. I mean, there was 158, in addition to the $1.25 billion, there was $158 million plus dollars that was given out for multiple things, child care, public health, FTA money, all of that. And so we really need to be careful of that. The other thing is I think that we need to be mindful of what requests we get related to programs that are going to help us move the economy forward in New Hampshire. And that's really through the health avenue. So, you know, what kind of testing, you know, how can we expand testing to give people assurances that they can go out into the communities when the governor opens the doors to let people out and enjoy the state of New Hampshire to conduct business. We need to be mindful that during the ramp-up process of business in this state, it's going to be extremely difficult for small and large entities, and someone brought up at the beginning the Restaurant Association, to get people comfortable to go in and dine at a restaurant? And what kinds of restrictions will be imposed? I'll give you an example. In my field in public transportation, Governor Cuomo talked about a 50% reduction in seating on a bus to limit exposure. Well, that's certainly going to change the landscape for Manchester Transit when they're trying to move people, or Nashua Transit. It's going to cost them more money. So what does that mean? What does that mean for the state? So if we're mindful about putting programs together, they're going to create better testing, accelerate the process to get people back out and moving around the state of New Hampshire to go in and enjoy local businesses, to support local businesses, we'll get out of this a lot faster. If we're not providing testing, if we're not trying to ascertain what we have in terms of people who are now presently infected, this is going to be a long, slow process. So that's where I'd love to see some energy put.
So just one note on that.
This is Lisa.
This is Lisa English. I will get used to the remote. I've gotten used to Zoom. It took a little bit. So one thing that I don't have information, detailed information on, but for example, there were, I think, through both Families First, but certainly either the Families First or CARES Act, there were some pretty hefty CDC grants to public health entities across the country. So, like, I guess my first question will be to see if I can find out, is that money just for what's happening right now? Is that something where there's conversations about enhanced testing? So I think it's a really great point that is just so connected to the economic environment. So an important one to raise. But that's an example of where trying to connect all of the dots and have a sense of what's out there may help us determine, is there a need for these federal dollars to assist there? Are there gaps? And, I mean, well, and I think anytime someone knows a huge amount of money that's going to one place, I just want to make that point. We recognize when you talk about a large infusion of cash to an industry that is, for example, losing $200 million a month, that, you know, getting $100 million for the next 6 months doesn't get people where they are. So even when we point to these pots of money that we're looking at, we understand that that does not necessarily make an industry whole.
See, and that, Lisa, that's my whole point, is if we don't figure out how to test people and how to give the citizens of New Hampshire, and let's face it, the whole country, some measure of reinsurance that it's okay to go back out into the marketplace, we will be throwing money at this forever. And whatever we can do collectively, you know, if we're not connecting all the dots between what we got out of the CDC, we need to do that, because no business will survive an environment of uncertainty, and this is what we're dealing with right now. And I'm good, Jerry.
Thank you, Jim. I think it's an excellent point, particularly something like transportation or hospitality, where the business model is to put people together. They need to know that they can be comfortable with each other, I think is the summary.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ben Wilcox.
Hi, thank you, Commissioner. Listening to everybody, I think the one that pops out in the lead is summarizing, obviously, the priorities of the group, and whether that's through a poll of the existing group we have, that might be a strategy. But it was also mentioned earlier, defining the categories, because I know each person on this call has a certain specialty and is involved with different industries. So defining what categories those are, who's running, to chase that down. I know I've already been in touch, as I mentioned earlier, with New Hampshire Restaurant Lodging, Ski New Hampshire, White Mountain Attractions. I've talked to our local Chamber of Commerce, which is very tourism-focused. There's a number of resources that I think each one of us can bring to the table to do that. I like the idea of the 10 questions that maybe we pose to each of these groups, so that we could consolidate the information effectively And as you know, I'm in the middle of the hospitality business. And while my focus is ski, it connects to lodging, restaurants, retail, a number of all parties that have been extremely hit hard by this. But I also recognize that there's a number of priorities in the state. So for my benefit, understanding, kind of making a list of those priorities and then working with a group to prioritize where each one falls, and then, you know, having each one of us maybe chase down information from groups we're affiliated with, just a suggestion on a process on how we move forward. I know the other topic brought up was testing, which I know has come up by multiple sources, even in the tourism people I've spoken to, because we all, the next question is, how do we all get everybody comfortable with coming back to New Hampshire as a place to visit, because that's such an important part of our economy in hospitality. So those are my takeaways today.
Thank you very much, Ben. Alessio, question?
Well, first of all, I am going to second what Ben's statement was on the process. I think Donnelly's ideas about summarizing the categories, I'm not sure if she meant it the same way that Ben was saying, but I think what Ben is interpreting, the way Ben is interpreting it, was the way I originally interpreted it, and that would be to take a look at the various categories within the state of areas of need, whether it would be lodging, transportation, agriculture. I think that's what was meant by categories. I thought that's what was meant. And if that's the case, I think that's a great starting point to get us on the same page. And also the notion of the questions, it's a great idea. It'll bring structure to our group and get us focused. I was going to say also, following Nancy's comment and also Ben's, is that we have the state organization, I think they're called Division of Economic Development now. I think it used to be DRED, if I'm right, which was a terrible acronym. But the Division of Economic Development, as I recall, sort of funnels in input from the various local economic development committees throughout the state. I think it would be a great thing to get some input from them, to see if they can somehow get input from their various constituent economic development committee groups across the state, to find out if there are areas or pockets of needs that need to be addressed. One that comes to mind to me is, I had heard from someone who was in the commercial real estate business, and not a realtor, but just someone who was a property owner who owned some areas that were sort of strip malls where they had tenants in there. And were very concerned because tenants were all stopping the payments of their rent, and they still had obligations, and they were wondering if they were being forgotten in this process. So I think the economic development folks might be able to tap into areas like that and funnel some of those needs back. So I think I'd like to add that as a category if the group would be interested in that as well.
Thank you very much. Scott, do you have another comment to make for us?
Yeah. I don't know if this fits in underneath our umbrella or not, but one of the comments I'm hearing from different industries is that there are a lot of folks that are concerned about the level of what unemployment's paying, and you hear comments, you know, I've heard five or six different businessmen say that they're concerned about losing employees to unemployment insurance. I don't know whether that's something we should be discussing as far as whether that was set at the right level or if there's any way to even begin to look at that. The other issue is higher education. The universities and colleges in New Hampshire shut their doors this semester and are looking at wondering, you know, as far as what the fall semester is going to look like. And that has created a great deal of economic strain on both the public and the private institutions in New Hampshire. and I think we should be hearing from them too.
All good points. My understanding is I believe the legislative advisory group has already asked to have the university system chancellor and the New Hampshire NHCUC.
College and University Council.
Thank you, Joe. College and University Council address them. So you can pick that up on their minutes or their recording of a meeting that will happen next week with them. And to the unemployment insurance, that was a very detailed discussion yesterday when Commissioner Kapatis and Deputy Commissioner Labors from Department of Employment Security were on with us. I think they are very much aware of the situation. Deputy Labors discussed contact he was receiving from business owners telling him that he had already lost employees who were saying, I can do better by having you lay me off and collecting unemployment, so would you please lay me off? They're aware of that situation, and as I understand it from their comments yesterday, they're taking steps to address it with the federal organizations that they work with.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Is that it, Rhonda? Jim, do you have another question?
No, just a comment. One of the things about the unemployment insurance, if you're doing PPP or you're hiring somebody back, if they refuse the job, you know, they don't get unemployment compensation. The other thing is the unemployment compensation runs out on 7/31. So, you know, assuming, you know, if the state really starts ramping up at the end of middle of June into July, it'll all be moved anyway. I just wanted to bring that out.
Okay. Hold on, please. Kathleen Reardon, I don't know that we got you during the roll call. Are you with us now?
Yes. I've been here. This is Kathleen Reardon.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I should have jumped in sooner. I was having difficulty with raising my hand. Kathleen Reardon, New Hampshire Center for Nonprofits. And I wanted to just echo on the conversation around, you know, putting some process around this and having some standardized questions I think would be helpful so that we can keep this as, you know, as factually based as possible. Obviously, my focus and interest is making sure that the nonprofits all have a voice, as the nonprofits are very important to our economic recovery and to the vitality of our state. Many of the groups that have been already talked about, there are nonprofits within that groups in terms of like affordable housing and healthcare and some of these economic development organizations. So I would add as well that we want to probably be thinking about organizations, not the nonprofit organizations that help draw people to our state, like the arts and cultural organizations, the environmental organizations, perhaps as well some others that are on the social service continuum, not directly related to healthcare, but youth development and other types of support as well. Again, I agree with what people said that we need to sort of think about the resources and categories so that we can kind of prioritize these, but I was listening to this and thinking about what are the gaps and the organizations and entities that may not have access to the other resources that we need to hear from.
Thank you, Kathleen. Just a question to help me clarify, I guess. What we've been reminded repeatedly by the governor is that if we're talking specifically about the $1.25 billion, is that we have to identify issues and problems that were specifically created by the coronavirus. So when you're talking with your nonprofit members, are you asking them to think about specifically the harm that they have suffered solely because of the coronavirus? Is there a way to separate out their challenges?
Well, yeah, good question. I think the example of performing arts organizations, they've had to close. I mean, so similar to restaurants having the challenges of social distancing, they are not able to operate right now, and maybe not for the foreseeable future. So yes, it is connected, and you know, certainly we have to you know, make sure we keep people focused on that part of the need.
Arts. Thank you. Anything else, Kathleen?
That's it for now.
Great. Thank you for joining us. Does anybody else have any further thoughts that they would like to share during this organizational meeting? Has anybody had a moment to give a thought about who they would like to suggest serve as chair of the of this committee? Bill Ardinger, do we see your hand up?
Yes. And honestly, I think what is going to happen here is my good friend is going to wonder whether I've got her best interest at stake. But I know from exceptional experience that Donnelly Lozo has a range of looks at the state and at the communities that few people I know in the state do. Everything from you know, running a small business, which was a restaurant, to being in the legislature at very high levels, to being mayor, to completing very large, complex transactional deal with a publicly traded company, and now leading a social service organization, which is going to be on the front lines of addressing the demographic in our state who is most at risk. And Kathy Reardon just spoke about that very well. I you know, at the risk of having Donnelly punch me in the face the next time I see her, I would like to nominate Donnelly Lozo to be chair. She just got the skill set for it, in my view. Thank you very much for the chance to speak.
Thank you, Bill. Dean, Kristen, comment?
I was going to second that. I figured that Donnelly will punch Bill. But I'm seconding his motion, as it were.
Thank you, Dean. Jim Jalbert, a comment?
I was going to second Donnelly's name. She would do it. Very capable. I have a great deal of respect for her. She did a great job in Nashua, and she's, as Bill said earlier, she's really done it all, and I think she would keep us all in check.
Very good. Donna Lee, do you have a rebuttal to all of this?
At the risk of sounding like Sally Field, I'm happy to help in any way I can. I'm a fan of process. Bill punching is rather dramatic. Dean, you're probably all safe. No, but I think I'm happy to help, and I know I won't be alone. This is a great group of people. Everybody brings something to the table, and I'm sure we'll figure out, you know, how we can best all serve together. I see the chair role as more kind of facilitating things and helping with the process, and I'm happy to do it.
That's great. Yeah, you're absolutely. You're right. We like you. We really, really like you. So I believe that's the Sally Fields quote.
Cheers.
All right. So then, by RSA 91A, a motion like this needs to be approved by a roll call. So we have a motion to nominate Donnelly Lozo as chair of the Stakeholder Advisory Board. It is seconded. Any further conversation? Hearing no further discussion, I will run through the roll. Bill Ardinger.
Yes, thank you.
Dean Kristen.
Yes.
Jim Jalbert.
Yes.
Al Letizio.
Yes.
Donnelly Lozo.
Abstain.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Michelle McEwen.
I've not had the pleasure to meet Donnelly, but she sounds fantastic. Yes.
Thank you. Nancy Merrill.
Yes.
Kathleen Reardon.
Yes.
Ben Wilcox.
Yes.
It's unanimous, Donnelly. Congratulations. And thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So that brings us down to just scheduling the next meetings. We've talked about that already. We're going to move forward with Tuesdays and Thursdays, with the Tuesday meeting starting at 1 and the Thursday meeting starting at 2. What we will do next then is we'll kibitz around the table here at the Gopher office, look at the recommendations that you have made to us today and propose to you a couple of groupings. So we try to get the industry presentations in a logical manner, and we'll have Joe Dorian, who is going to take the lead on this committee, send out the thoughts and ideas to you by email.
And this is Joe Dorian. If members of the committee could please send the 10 questions that they would like to have answered from the different groups that come before the committee, that would be great. And you have my email, but I'll send out a follow-up as well just to touch base.
Very good. Any final closing comments from anyone? Well, hearing none and not seeing any electronic hands raising on the screen, I'll assume there are none. I want to say thank you. This has been an excellent first conversation and a fantastic organizational meeting, and all of us here are looking forward to working with you, Donnelly, and everybody else on your committee. So thank you all, and one more minute, please. And I've just been reminded that you may want to, if you have any more spare time on your hands, the Legislative Advisory Committee will be meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. Their normal time to meet will be 1, and all of the and all of the agendas and the schedule are available on Governor Sununu's website. If you go to his website and then look on the right-hand side, there's a link to the Gopher page, and you can get all of the details there, and that's also where you'll be able to click on a link to listen to the recorded minutes and see the written minutes as well. Thank you all very, very much, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you.
This ends this call at 2:07 p.m.